Hey y'all, this is Lisa Zahia, and welcome to season 3 of Limitless with Lisa Z. I'm super excited to bring you an international group of guests who are amazing, inspiring folks brought to you to hear more about how they became limitless and went after their dreams. We also have a 4-part series with me on becoming limitless, which is how to follow one big dream this year. So super excited about it. Follow along and let us know what you think in the comments. Hey y'all, this is Lisa Zahia, life and business coach, and welcome to season 3, episode 2 of the podcast, Limitless with Lisa Z. I'm so excited about this episode with Passant Jimiayi, who is a dance teacher who has founded a dance company, created safe spaces for women and performing in Cairo, Egypt. Passant and I met when she taught a class that I got to take, and through our friend Scheherazade. And she is inspiring. She's creating amazing spaces for women, and she is breaking into the international dance scene. I hope you learn about how she motivates herself, what she does for women, and you are inspired by Passant as much as I am. Enjoy. I'm so excited, Passant, to have you on the podcast, and you have inspired me a lot. And so my first question for you is, what inspired you today?
I received a written long love letter from my Philippine student who's living in Egypt today in my class.
Oh, that's so nice.
And today's Valentine's Day. And on this day, to receive something like that, I cried a lot today because I had a special class every occasion. Every occasion, I like to make it like a, not a test, but more like a performance day, mm-hmm. where I let my girls perform one or two of the songs that we've been working on for a while. So I had 4 girls perform today, and I was already in tears seeing them doing it so nice. And this is the good thing when I teach here, is that yes, the moves are the same. Yes, yep. The choreography is the same, but there are these very slight differences that leave the print of every woman. It's different, you know? Yes, I can see this is my choreography. These are my moves, but it's different. It looks different than her. Seeing these 4 women today, I was already in tears. I was already touched. And then after the class, she gave me like this long written letter. It was so sweet. In this world where everybody stopped writing, you know, letters, everybody depends on texting, it was very essential to receive something like that and very inspiring.
Oh, I love it. Does that make you realize and feel like how much impact you're having on women there?
Definitely. Definitely. It shakes me. It makes me feel excited that I'm shaking. Like I'm, it's, you know, when something is very exciting, mm-hmm. to the extent that you're shaking, you can tell if it's fear or excitement. Of course you're happy, so you know it's excitement, it's not fear, but it's so powerful that it shakes you from inside.
Oh, I love that. You know, I think an interesting question I have for you is, like, how uniquely do you see teaching dance and dancing with women in Egypt? What do you feel like it's providing for them?
So first of all, it's providing a safe space mm-hmm. to be yourself, express without being judged by anything or anyone. And I don't just mean not judged by men, because unfortunately we have women who judge too. But inside of the dancing class, all of them are coming for the same purpose. Everybody's busy with learning a new technique or following the choreography or feeling the music, that they don't have time to judge each other. They're just all coming for the same purpose, to enjoy. So there is no space for anyone to judge. Yeah. Okay, so first of all, they have this safe zone to express their feelings, express their emotions. show off their body, communicate with their beauty, enjoy their time, do a physical activity, because maybe they don't like to go jogging or they don't like to go to the gym. So
Sure.
maybe this is the only activity, this is the only sports or physical activity they are going to have. So it's an opportunity to take care of your body, your physical health. Also, their mental health, it's a good way to like shut down everything that's going on in your mind, because it's be like dance helps you focus on what's happening in the present.
Yes.
Usually, all the time, maybe you're busy thinking about the future. Maybe you're busy regretting what's happening in the past, or like, oh, I forgot to do that. Oh, I should have done that. But the dancing brings your mind to the present, and that's it. So this is why, this is all of these reasons. And I mean, I can keep talking about that, but like, I want to give space for all the questions.
Yeah, I think that it brings up something that like is interesting to me is that like I was a dance teacher. I see women needing all of those things, that it's universal. But I would imagine in Egypt, like there haven't been as many spaces like that for women. Do you think that that's true?
It is true. However, to be honest, as you said, what I just said, you yourself experienced with your students, right? So I think in Egypt, not all women are now sharing the same reasons why they go to a class. Because do you know what? At first, I thought, yes, in Egypt we may have less freedom. Let's say yes, in Egypt we may have. I thought we had less freedom than we have. Than abroad. But dealing more with foreign students and becoming like interacting more with them, I started to realize that it's all the same. Everybody wants, all the women all over the world, they want a safe space without being sexualized.
Oh, yeah, man, absolutely.
Yeah, so even though in Egypt we don't have, like, we have less freedom. Yet it's still the same thing. Like, okay, we do have other places where you could do that. Like, we do have clubs, we do have
Yeah.
parties, we do have the weddings. And man, you see the women in the wedding killing themselves. So, and nobody judges that. It's
Yeah,
the
that's
social
interesting.
media. It's the people that are literally they're sitting to judge. And these people are not just in Egypt.
Yeah, of
They're all
course.
over the world. There was this video of a woman who was hijabi. She was in a wedding. I don't know if you know about that. She was wearing a blue dress. She was like millions, like thousands of women. She was in a wedding of her best friend. She got excited with the music, and she's a very good dancer, not professional or anything, but she's just talented. So everybody just made a way for her in the circle. It looked like she was making a performance, but she's not. She wasn't. They were all dancing. It's just that she was so good that all the girls started stepping back until she was left alone in the circle. To her bad luck, someone was shooting her, and they posted the video on the social media, and everybody started sharing the video because she was dancing so good.
Because she was good.
Yeah, everybody started sharing the video. At first, I would imagine, like, at first, the sharing was because she was dancing good. But later on, as more the video went viral, you could start seeing the negative comments. And then you start seeing the fight. A group of people fighting, ah, she's hijabi. How come she's dancing like that? She's not respecting her hijab. The other opinion, guys, come on. This is her best friend's wedding. She's not dancing in a nightclub. She was dancing in a wedding, so it was something spontaneous. Everybody does that. Another opinion. But why is she posting this? Another opinion. No, she's not the one sharing it. It went viral. She was not the one posting. You see this?
Yeah.
See this? This happens everywhere, I think. It's not just, I don't know if it happened something like that similar would happen abroad or not, but this is what it's all about here. This is why women are always feeling threatened
Yeah.
to express, even me, myself. I'm threatened. I don't post everything. I don't post everything. I have to make a close friend list
Yeah.
with all the women on my account so I can share freely my art.
I mean, I think that Passant, that's the thing that's really important, as you said, art. And when we were talking about this woman in the blue dress, like she was expressing her joy. And that's the part that makes me sad is like you're an artist, she's expressing joy. And we do see, especially like people within the religion, like being very critical. But what I see in the West is that they're like the same thing. Why is she wearing that? She's not wearing enough. She's wearing too much. It's the fact, I think, that we just have, like, as a society, like, we make women unsafe to express themselves because everything is about what they look like.
Yes, this is
Yeah.
very true. Whether she's wearing too much or not wearing anything at all,
Yep.
just let her be.
Yeah.
Just let her be. Like, focus on yourself.
Yeah. So
Get a
take
life.
it alive. I know. And like, put the phone down and enjoy the moment. And to me, like, I'm lucky enough to be on your close friends list and I get to see you express yourself and like enjoy my friend dancing. And I think that goes to what you're doing for women, which is like creating safe spaces for expression.
And I've taken that on a bigger scale with my henna, because now I'm always saying this, and I'm calling out for all my girls, and I'm saying this to in all my classes. Now you have an opportunity to take your dance further. It's not like it doesn't stop where you are just, I mean, it's fine if this is what you want and you feel this is enough for you. But if you got that fire inside of you that you want to dance for a profession, and of course you're unable to do that here because whatever family, you don't want to lose your family, you don't want to lose your friends around you don't want to be judged, you're not satisfied. This is very important. You're not satisfied with the place that the opportunities to perform here as a professional. If this is not doesn't match you, now I'm providing you with an actual real opportunity to use this fire inside of you in a safe place. Because
Yeah.
I provide options now for my girls who are have reached a professional level to perform in ladies only parties. And this is why I'm encouraging the performance in my classes after teaching the girls. I say it's important. Show me what been learning with me, because if any of them, and I did see some of them, they have the fire of enjoying the stage and wanting to show, like they have this talent of also influencing the other woman when they dance. So I told them that I would like to take you further with that. So I have my ladies only parties, I have my bachelorette parties. Go ahead, prepare and perform.
And to provide context for everyone who's listening, what we're talking about is that women, whether or not they wear a hijab, who are choosing to either personally or because of their family to not perform in public, or like you said, the quality of places to perform in public, it's not an opera house with an orchestra and a stage. Like, wouldn't it be great if that's what we had all the time? Wouldn't you like it if you had that all the time?
This is what I would want in life. Like, my God, and
Yeah.
performing belly dance on the stage, oriental dance on the stage of an opera with a live orchestra. My God,
Wouldn't it be amazing?
it's a dream. It's a
Yeah.
dream that I a lot of, you know what? A lot of problems would disappear if we had this. It wouldn't have existed. If what Badia has created, Badia Masabni, if what she has created was developed in the right way,
Yeah,
I don't
everything would be
know. I
different.
don't, oh, everything would be different. Everything. My God. I think we would be able to affect the economy of Egypt.
Yeah. So
I think.
what you're talking about is a woman, this is very interesting, who started an opera house in Cairo where there were performers with live orchestras, belly dancers. And I think just so for people who don't know it, Passant, like it here in the United States, People see belly dancers a lot of different places. Similarly, clubs, restaurants. I also think, this is my opinion, that a lot of them aren't always deserving of the dance. It can feel seedy, it can feel inappropriate, and that's personal choice. And then you see big stage shows typically that are like belly dance, almost like recitals. So in Egypt, what you're talking about, what you're offering is like places for women to perform at all women's parties.
Yes, where the audience are all women, they appreciate this kind of art. When a woman is dancing, they're art. Okay? It's not entertainment, because there is a huge difference between an artist and an entertainer. So she's not an entertainer. When she's dancing to women audience, they don't see her as an entertainer. They see her as an artist. They're watching. They're waiting to see her skills. And when she does something that is special, when she's dancing, that's coming out of her heart, when she does this kind of art in her special way, it reaches them. And they also have a very good eye to judge, which creates a safe, like, system for the art to develop. Because when you have good audience who are judging well, you want to improve this. Like, this is what happened to me when I first started. Okay, I was good. Okay, that was my level when I started performing in ladies only parties. Okay, that was my level. But then I wanted to be better, because they could tell that I'm getting better. They could see it. So I wanted to develop myself more and develop this art for them. And they started noticing the difference. People who have known me from before, they see, oh, percent, you improved in this. Oh my God, your flexibility. Oh my God, your flutters, your shimmies, your hands, your eyes, your interaction. They can judge everything. They can tell everything, every single detail they are aware of.
And understanding, like the thing I see is that women can see and understand the body as the instrument of the dance. So, like the feminine body is so beautiful, and you're using it as an expression of your dance, and women see that art and that connection.
Women see every body beautiful.
It's amazing. Yeah, I mean, I just think that like what a beautiful place for these women who are studying with you to also have their performances in a place that feels safe and appreciated. So what a thing that you're providing for them.
Like, first of all, I'm providing them courses so they can join and work on themselves. And then if a girl decides that, okay, I would like to try to perform, we could maybe do some private classes to just for me to explain to her what a performance, like the essentials of a performance. You should do like an intro with a veil, something like that. And then you need to have an ending. You need to choose the song very carefully and everything. Like, I tell her everything privately. And then whenever I have like a henna, a bachelorette party, or like an event that I'm planning, or if she's joining my retreats, because also my retreats, the ladies only ones, I also do a performance on the last day. So in any of, yeah, in any of these three options, she gets to go ahead and wear a professional costume and perform the song.
Beautiful. So this is your full-time job. Tell me about your very first class. How did you just like what made you decide? It hasn't been a very long time. 6 years?
I think they're 8 now.
8 years. First of all, you're an amazing dancer. And second of all, like this is your full-time job. How did it start 8 years ago?
It wasn't my full-time job 8 years ago. It started as a hobby. Yeah, okay. People told me that I was talented, that I could understand music. And that's because my family understood music. Like, I've been raised in a family who enjoy tarab. Whenever I turn on the TV, I don't want to see modern movies. I look for black and white ones until now. I recite the dialogues I recite the songs, everything. I know the
Mm-hmm.
actors. So I was born in a family who loves music and understands it and enjoys it. And so did I enjoyed music. So I had a musical ear. But of course, I didn't have any professional background, or like I didn't take any professional dance classes when I was a child. I was just imitating what I see in the TV. There was no internet. It was the TV. So, and then when I joined a professional class, and it was my first time to see live professional performance, I was surprised of the quality of the technique, and the teacher inspired me to be like her. I want to be like her. Professional, that professional, and she was so much in control. Like, I could dance, but out of talent. And when you dance out of talent, your body is leading. You're not leading. Like, if you want to do a move, one time the move can come, but another time it will not. Do you understand me? Yeah, it was, for me, it was this. Oh my God, she's in control. When she wants to do the shimmy like this, when she wants to do a figure eight, comes like this. As for me, I could try. One time it comes, one time it doesn't. If I'm flexible today, if I'm not, it depends. Depends on a lot of things. Mainly it was just your body leading, not you. But her, so I wanted to be like her, and I started being committed to her classes. I attended a lot. And I started looking for other teachers, and started going to more and more classes in different gyms and different places. All of the teachers I've taken class with in Egypt, in the gyms, they were dancing like from their heart, freestyle. There was no choreography at all. She was dancing a freestyle, and you would need to follow her. I could follow 80%. Of course, nobody will follow freestyle 100%. It's very hard. So I followed 80%. Other girls who couldn't dance at all, they would either leave the class or just do anything. And this anything was going in wrong direction because they're not talented, or like they did not practice as much as I did, so they're not aware of these moves, their body is not helping them. So they were trying in wrong ways. And I could see that. And they would ask me after the class, and I was not a teacher then, I was just an attendee. And they would ask me, "Oh, Basant, you seem to know very well the moves. Can you help us? Because we can't, blah, blah, blah." And I would start step by step, just telling them what to do. And then the next day, I found myself applying in places to teach.
That's amazing.
This podcast is brought to you by Coaching with Lisa Zahia, a business development company which provides strategy, coaching, and staffing support to mission-driven businesses. We help create bold and impactful businesses and to help the founders become the people who can do it. Curious about how to grow your business? Schedule a free consultation at www.chatwithlisaz.com. www.chatwithlisaz.com.
Pasan, I think that a lot of people, like this is really what this podcast is about. A lot of people wouldn't do that step. I applied to teach. What is inside of you that was like, okay, I'm going to do it?
First, I wanted to help. The first thing, or the first feeling, is that I really wanted to help. Because I felt sad when they left the class and thought that they didn't have a chance to learn. I also felt that I already know I enjoy because I didn't tell you about my full-time job at that time. My major is languages, specifically the English language. So after graduation, I worked for a little while as an English teacher, as an English instructor in a language center. I enjoy teaching. I enjoy breaking down information and seeing the look on people's eyes when they understand. I like it. I feel that I'm able to help a lot when I do that. So this was my thing. I want to help these women to feel as happy as I am when I dance, and to enjoy it, and to enjoy their bodies and everything. So this is why I pushed myself to do this. And the part of the step to apply, of course you have to do that at the beginning because nobody knows you. You don't have an existence in this field. So how would you expect anyone to approach you without you putting out yourself as an available at the beginning?
And the thing I hear you say is that, like, I love to help people and I saw that I could. And you put that in front of, I'm nervous, it might not work, da da da. It's like, I can help, so why wouldn't I?
Yeah, of course, everything at the beginning makes you feel nervous and makes you
Sure.
feel uncomfortable, especially if you're taking a different career. I was at that time, I was starting a different career, but maybe I didn't think too much, you know?
Yeah, which is
Sometimes,
good.
when you think, when you overthink, you delay or like you miss a lot of opportunities or like you miss chances that you can have in life. Sometimes you think, but to a limit. You don't need to overthink. If I left myself to the fears of maybe it might not work, maybe this is also, you have to accept that things like this are going to happen. I put it into my mind that there are already a lot of teachers out there. I might not have a chance as much as they do, but maybe I can have a small chance with some people who might find what I'm giving interesting. And it's okay for some people to not like me. I also put that in mind. It's okay if I get refused. It's okay if I get rejected. The world is huge. There will be other people accepting.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. One thing I've been really excited to see you doing is you're teaching a lot of dancers from abroad. Because, you're doing all this stuff for amazing women in Egypt, but there's this huge audience for belly dance in the world. How did you start working with dancers from abroad? And what has that made you realize, think about? Like, how is that going?
One day, I received a message on my account on Facebook from a Brazilian dancer. And she was here dancing in Sharm el Sheikh and Hurghada and stuff like that. But she wasn't full time. She was only coming for like 2 weeks. And she wanted to take a class, a group class. And I told her about my classes that were in one place that I don't even work there anymore. And then I think she came to the class. I didn't even realize that she came, but I think she came to the class. And then after she talked to me about having a private. And I remember myself at that time. I was not a good teacher. I know myself. At that time, it was, I think it was only just a year from when I started. So I know, and like I judge myself always. Like I always wanna develop. So I think about myself in the past, and I know I wasn't that good. But maybe she saw something that's original, like from something Egyptian in my dancing. So maybe this is what she liked, and she asked me about privates, and I told her no problem. And then she brought another three Brazilian dancers who are already living in Egypt and performing here. And I gave them the class, and then they wanted more classes and more classes. Then I started giving them classes on a regular basis, and they kept changing, one that travels, one that comes, and blah blah blah. And then I think one of these dancers, they became she became like viral. She became like a star dancer. And maybe this is where everything came from. But I also remember realizing that there are festivals happening in Egypt. I didn't know about this. And I knew that people were inviting foreign dancers to come here to Egypt. And maybe in the festival, this is how I met one of the American famous dancers also. I took a class with her in the festival. And then after, I messaged her about doing a workshop for Egyptian women, and she agreed. And that's how started getting connected. I think this is how, like, I'm not sure which ways worked, but probably these two ways together.
Do you enjoy working with foreign dancers?
Yes, very much. I enjoy teaching in general, like in any location, in and to anyone. I just enjoy teaching Oriental dance. And the difference between foreigners and Egyptians is that foreigners are very patient, and I love this. I love this. Egyptians are just so, they want everything now.
Yes, that's
And
very
nothing
different.
happens now. I love that. Maybe foreigners' minds are very well organized, you know? They understand, they're more open-minded, their understanding is better. They work hard, they have experience. Like, you know, I don't know how to say that, but like, they get it.
I think Passant, that I think that a lot of women or people in the West have a misconception that if a woman is wearing a hijab, that she's like timid or doesn't want to dance. Or like, I think a lot of people are like, oh, you know, when I talk about friends of mine who are hijabi, who like love dancing or take dance, what would you say to that?
You have to, like, people need to understand that wearing hijab is a bigger scale from the idea of wearing a necklace with the name of a person that you like. Let's put it this way. So that means it doesn't affect anything. It doesn't judge you in any way. It's an accessory. It's an accessory that you're wearing. But is this accessory not meaningful? No, it is meaningful because it has the first initial of a person that you like. But does this say anything? Does this have to say anything about who you are, or like your personality or your background or anything? Nothing. Zero. It doesn't say anything. Yet it's very significant to you. Only to you. Only you know the meaning of it. Only you understand, and only you know why you're wearing it. And nobody would know unless you talk about it. So I have to ask you, oh, this is, your name is Lisa, but you're wearing a necklace with a letter M. Who's that? Before that, I shouldn't make any judgment, and I should not say
Girl, yes. Yeah, I mean,
anything.
I think that I'm so glad you said that. And what a great way to say it. Why are you wearing that? Can you tell me about it? But like that brings up something. It's just like approach a human with curiosity, you
Yeah,
know?
there is no problem at all with curiosity. This is how you learn, and this is how you understand, and this is healthy, understanding different cultures, different mindsets, different backgrounds. This is healthy. If you're asking me why I'm wearing it, for me, it's like a way to come closer to God, and for me, it's like, even though I do a lot of things, I wouldn't consider myself very religious, but I like to have a good connection with God, because I believe that I believe in God's existence, and I believe the power that God has over our lives. And I also believe that He wants us to be healthy, He wants us to be good. And I want to keep this connection between me and him going. And in our religion, in Islam, wearing the hijab is like, not, I wouldn't say enhancing your beauty, because you're still beautiful wearing the hijab, but it's like, it's a way to show that you're not, like, you have standards, and yeah, you have standards, and that you are someone who with a good mind, and is not someone, you're not someone that is superficial. Okay. All that in our religion symbolizes that, the hijab. So this is why I'm wearing it, as a way of like keeping this connection with me with God.
That's a, you know, like I've always thought of hijabs as like a beautiful representation of your personal relationship with God. And I think that, you know, I just love that we're talking about this because there's so many misconceptions about it. I think that women, you know, like when I come back from Egypt and maybe I show them your picture and I'm like, this is the most amazing dancer. She kicked my butt so hard. And they're like, wow, she dances? Or they think that like it means you're conservative in everything.
Yeah, I understand.
Or like if I'm, there's a picture of me and you going to see a dancer, people in the West might see, be surprised that somebody who's wearing a hijab would go see a dancer. Or, you know, like a very good friend of mine is hijabi and she's always like helping me pick out my outfits. And people are like, she's okay with what you're wearing. And I'm like, she supports everything about me.
Yeah, exactly. I know, like the last one made me laugh because it's not like the last, the like the first two things, the first two misconceptions are about the person. But the last one was also now about other people. So not only that I'm not, it's not just about me, like that I'm also a person to point out things for other people. No,
that's, yeah, of course.
No, that these are things that depend on the personality. I cannot say, like, I don't understand why would they have this mindset of, because I am wearing the hijab, I wouldn't like that someone else is not wearing it. As I said, this is something very, very personal and has nothing at all to do with other people. Okay?
Yeah,
and the confusion between dancing and hijab, let me clear this out. Because this is what I believe in. And I know when I say this out loud, a lot of people are going to start backfiring on me. But I truly, truly think of Oriental dance as something spiritual.
Yes.
So it's very hard for me to have this idea that it contradicts hijab. Yes, certain types of dancing or like certain styles or ways of dancing may contradict hijab.
Sure.
But after researching, I think that dances in the world long time ago, tribes did dancing or like did, they didn't know it's dancing. They just did these kinds of movements in a way to appreciate nature, and they, because they thought this way, they're appreciating everything God is giving to them. So it was religious.
Yes.
It was something religious. The act of moving your body in certain ways had symbols behind it, and these symbols were spiritual.
Yeah.
And
religious. I agree with you. And, you know, like for me, when I'm moving, when I'm dancing, it's the closest oftentimes I feel to God. So I 100% agree with you. Hassan, I have an important question. What's next for you? What are the big goals? What are we going to see you doing soon?
I'm really hoping that this year or travel abroad, I don't have a destination in mind, but really hoping that I could take that step because I know it's just the first step or like the first time, and then maybe more will follow. So I'm really hoping that maybe this year or next year, I'm able to travel and teach abroad. I would love that experience. Fingers crossed. Yes. Another thing that's already happening this year, and I'm also so excited about it, is that I'm teaching in festivals.
Good.
That's happening here in Egypt.
I'm so excited.
I'm so scared.
Yeah, it's going to be amazing. And, you know, I love hearing this because you and I talked about it. It's probably like 6 months or a year ago. It's just like taking your career. And I think that you're an amazing voice in this dance form. And the other thing is like, we need more source dancers, dancers of the culture, Egyptian dancers. And so I can't wait to celebrate that with you.
I was thrilled because I was making a performance and one of the teachers, they were watching and I heard this comment. That was the, it was the best comment out of all. It was like, percent now pure and safe for the heritage of the Oriental dance after seeing you. And that came out of an Egyptian.
Yeah.
And I was like, no. Oh my God. And then I felt happy, and then I felt a big burden just was put on me, like a big responsibility.
Yeah, of course. But what a compliment. And it's true. You were moving this forward from inside the culture, and that, you know, like I think as somebody who's taken classes from you, what an honor. So I can't wait to see all of this happen for you and for everybody to get to take classes with you. You're very inspiring, and I love your strong voice, and I love your dancing, and I want to thank you for being on the podcast.
I want to thank you for this opportunity and for considering me as someone successful. You have also made my day, because this invitation is like an indication that I'm doing good. And I really love that. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. And we will put your contact info for all the folks to follow you and cheer you on in the comments. And we will be cheering for you. And I'm really glad you're my friend. Thank you.
I'm too, and can't wait to see you. I miss you so much. And aww, I can't wait for your amazing tours that you do here and all the amazing dancers that you bring.
They're coming. Awesome. Thank you.
That's it, folks. Another amazing episode of Limitless with Lisa Z. I am inspired and want to give you the homework. Take some notes, take action, do one thing today that can move you towards your dreams. Got feedback? Let us know. You can write to us at lisa@lisazahia.com or visit us online at lisazahia.com.